Kathy Sheehan. I'm the Rensselaer County and Tri-City historian and educator here at the Harcourt Museum of Historic Rensselaer County. It's nice to be with you today.
Yeah. Yes, and we just spoke about a couple of really remarkable women in Rensselaer County's history, but we couldn't get to everybody who you had planned. So who do you want to talk about today?
Well, we have three more.
Yes.
So the Bozeman sisters. Now, the Bozeman family, this is an African-American family. They were here in Troy in the very early 19th century. Their father, Benjamin Bozeman, was one of the early abolitionists here, working with Peter Baltimore, who was the black barber in Troy, working to help the freedom seekers as they were getting off the boats, pretty much over on just above Liberty Street, at the Pliny Moore grain elevator. And so these girls grew up.
The what elevator?
Pliny Moore was the man who also was the secretary of the Eastern Anti-Slavery Society of New York. And he ran a grain elevator right on the Hudson River, just above between Liberty and Washington Streets. And so think about these boats coming up the Hudson. They weren't just carrying grain. They were carrying freedom seekers. So they would get off the boats. He would direct them over to First Street, to where the Troy House was, which is basically where across the street from Slide and Dirty. And Peter Baltimore, who was a black barber there, he worked with them, another black barber, William Rich, and Benjamin Bozeman. And so they helped these people. And what do we do? And so the other group of people that helped too were the Troy Female African Benevolent Society. And there's lots of names, and the Bozeman, young Bozeman girls are part of that, as well as Miss William Rich's wife and Phoebe Thuey and a whole list of women. Again, we don't have images for them, but they were the ones who, you know, doing nuts and bolts, were getting food and clothing and shelter. I mean, think about all these people coming up from the South. They needed to be able to, you're in the Northeast, as we know what the weather is like, and letters of passage to go to the next, you know, ultimately so many were going to Canada. A lot of them were staying here in Troy, though. They felt very safe here. And so, well, now we'll get jobs and figure out where you can work. So it's this amazing network of the women of the Troy Female African Benevolent Society. And they had their offices in this Athenaeum building. Again, it's an empty parking lot now right across from Slide and Dirty. And the Troy Savings Bank was also in that space. And what do we have now in our collection? We have the ledgers from the Troy Savings Bank that showed who were the women of the Troy Female African Benevolent Society, because we have the signature books, which is phenomenal to know at least these women's names. It's so hard doing women's history research because women were always relegated to a a much lower, they couldn't own property. They, you know, their husbands or brothers were controlling things. So to have these women's names, Peggy Williams ran a boarding house over on Liberty Street, right near the Liberty Street Presbyterian Church for Colored People, which turned into be this just national story of the Vigilant Committee. Frederick Douglass spoke there.
Wow.
It was this amazing network. And here she is, she's running a boarding house and advertising. When you're coming up for these talks and lectures, stay at my place. Or if you're going to Saratoga, of course, was also doing them. Stop here in Troy. But she's one of the members. And so we have their signatures in these books. There's a wonderful woman who, Dr. Jennifer Burns, she teaches Africana Studies at SUNY Albany. She's also on our board. So she's been digging through all these signature books and looking at the money that they all had and who are these women and what they're doing. It's been absolutely fascinating. And the Bozeman sisters become a part of that. Mary, the older of the two sisters, becomes an assistant teacher at the Colored School, which was on State Street, right near the police station. Eventually she goes down to Washington, D.C., and her younger sister, Ada, takes over. Now, Ada is just spunky. She has to take a test because she wanted to get into Troy High School. At that time, the high school, it was segregated. Troy was segregated education, but she actually won her way in. And then she gets a prize for her essay entitled Difficulties, A Spur to Genius, which described all her struggles as a Black student. And she read this at the ceremony. She ends up becoming a teacher and principal over at the William Rich School, which was the school for the Black children in Troy. And eventually that is integrated into the rest of the Troy Public School System. She also goes to Washington, D.C. at some point.
When did the integration happen?
After 1870, around 1874, I think.
Is that speech available anywhere?
I haven't found it yet.
You would
But
know.
I'm still looking.
All right, I could talk to you forever, but I feel like I know you. There's more women you want to talk about. So, who's next?
The other one, the last one is Caroline Gilkey Rogers. And Caroline Gilkey Rogers is one of the early suffragettes. She's up in Lansingburg. This is a woman who literally went with her horse and buggy and buckboard, really, so she could fit many people on
What's
and drove
buckboard?
a buckboard, like, yeah, just like a long
Piece of wood.
piece of wood. Yeah, it goes on the back of a horse and wagon.
Like
Horse
a
and wagon,
trailer.
really, horse and
Okay.
wagon. And so she picked people up and brought them to the polling place.
Wow.
And she tried to run for a librarian. Of course, they say, no woman can run as a librarian. She ends up speaking again on the national stage. She spoke at the New York State Women's Suffrage Conventions. She spoke down in Washington. We found out about her through Chris Filippo, who is a member of the Lansingburg Historical Society, and he started finding things and sending it to me. So I have to thank him because she's just such an interesting woman.
And
And
she was a suffragist.
yeah, it's so sad that so many of these early suffragettes never saw the fruits of their labor. They died before she died before women got the vote. She dies in 1899. She was born in 1837. So
Who was she transporting to the polls,
women,
even though they couldn't vote?
She brought them to the polls because they finally established that women could vote in for library elections. She was able to bring them for the library elections.
So you said that she ran for librarian. Was librarian an elected position?
No, well, yes, no, you're serving on the library board. I misspoke. You're serving
Oh, okay.
on
So
the
that was
library.
back then,
I'm
same thing.
sorry.
Okay. All
Yes,
right.
I
Okay.
misspoke. I got excited. She was the representative here, for a lot of the suffrage rallies. Yeah, I love the story of her taking the horse and wagon out and bringing, I think they looked at the statistics and, the first year that they were voting for the Librarians Council and things. I think there were 3 or 4 women, and I think like a couple years later it was like 30 of them, some crazy astronomical
When you tell me these stories, I can't help but think about, present day analogs. I know that this past fall there were groups that were participating in something called Souls to the Polls, providing
Right.
free transportation to early voting, which
Early voting. Right, because there was only 2 early votings. So one was out in Brunswick and the other was down in Scodak, I think.
they did add a third, but it was kind of up the hill a little bit at the Armenian church.
Oh, that's right. Yes, they did up on Spring Avenue. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yes, it was. It reminded me of that same thing too on Election Day when people volunteered to take people to the polls.
Yeah, and you talk about these sort of networks of organizers helping support freed Black people who were moving up north during the time of slavery, and you think about how folks organize today. It just seems really interesting how
Well,
some of
it's
these things.
fascinating, yeah, that there, these networks of, that people knew people along the way. It just shows to show you there is communication that can happen before the era of, cell phones and things like that. This kind of letters, and those are very rare because at some point after the Fugitive Slave Laws happened, if you were caught aiding and abetting, you'd be in trouble. You could be fined. You could be put in jail. So that's why so many of these things, I think, and that's really when the Underground Railroad really went underground. Certainly after 1850, when the really harsh Fugitive Slave Laws happened.
Yeah, sort
So,
of
but
a
there are a
hidden
couple letters
history.
that do exist, and we actually have, documented sites on the Underground Railroad. Everybody says the Rowley House is, oh yeah, this was.
Do you have any documents? any of those letters?
It's not in our collection. It's one that was from the Vermont Historical Society, but it relates to a house out in Hoosick. Unfortunately, it's not in our collection, but that's okay. I've got copies of it.